Sound check there, Mikhail. Good to see you on here.
Likewise. Good to be here. Can everybody hear me?
I hear you loud and clear. Yeah, that special microphone on.
Yeah, I got the AirPods going.
Nice. And I assume that's Jesse there with you?
Yes, it is. Sound check.
Yeah, so here you good.
Great, great. Good to be here.
He's got the real microphone there.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
All right, Brendan, you want to do a mic check?
Yep, I hear you loud and clear.
Okay, thank you. Great to see you, Mikhail.
Likewise, great to see you as well.
It looks like people are still coming in here, which is pretty much Web3 standard. So those of you who are on time, thank you. We'll wait just a couple minutes for others to arrive. In the meantime, Jesse, where are you right now?
I am based on the West Coast, so a couple hours behind the central time that we set this meeting for, but yeah, that's where I'm at.
Okay, well, I assume then you're drinking coffee, or at least your first or second cup.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, and when you say West Coast, you know, help me define the West Coast. I spent a lot of time on the West Coast, so it'll give me an idea of where you are.
I'm in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. And that's a very big place. So I spent a lot of time down by with the 405 and the 5 split, a little place called Marine Corps Air Station El Toro back a long time ago. Where are you?
At the moment, I'm in Hollywood, actually. So,
good for you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll picture you sitting on top of the sign.
Sitting on top of the sign, drinking my coffee on a Twitter space.
There you go. I love it. How about you, Mikhail? Where are you?
Currently, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, also drinking my coffee here. And it's nice to finally have a little bit of spring weather. I was getting a little bit tired of the cold there.
Yeah. Well, good for you. I grew up in the south side of Atlanta in Jonesboro.
Very familiar with Jonesboro. Yeah. I mean, it's maybe about
south the airport. Yeah.
Hour and a half. Yeah. About hour and a half away from where I am.
Okay.
How long ago was this?
Oh, that was back when dinosaurs roamed the earth. I grew up there as a kid, went to high school there before I went off to college and, discovered the world. That was a long time ago.
So, in other words, about 10 years ago.
Yeah, pretty much like that. Yeah. My sister lives just outside of Buckhead.
Yeah. Familiar with Buckhead as well. It's definitely changed over the years.
Absolutely. Okay, well, let's go ahead and get started. Looks like we've got at least on my phone here, more people than my screen shows, so that's great. And we'll get started. So thank you, everyone, for coming to the spaces where Andromeda and Certic are going to talk a little bit about our partnership and a little bit about Andromeda, a little bit about Certic and how when they come together, that does something special. So we've got Mikhail and Jesse from Certic, and we've got Matt and Brendan from Andromeda. Let me start off just what we'll do here sequence-wise. We'll run through some brief introductions, and then we'll talk about what Andromeda is all about. We'll give it to Brendan to talk about what the AOS, which is the core technology piece of Andromeda, is all about. And then we'll pass it over to the Certic friends and let them talk about basically overview of Certic and introduce the Certic special sauce, their value prop. And then we'll go through a series of questions, probably four or so of those, to talk about what the partnership is all about, benefits of that partnership, how the impact on the Andromeda community will be in that particular partnership between Andromeda and CERTIC, and then we'll look ahead and see what else there is in terms of opportunity. And then, of course, we want the audience to participate. So we'll ask for questions from the audience, and then we'll recap what we talked about, kind of the old method of tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. We'll go through the recap there, and then we'll sign off. So with that, let me start off with a brief introduction here of myself. I'm a core contributor for Andromeda. Been with Andromeda since the beginning, back April 1st. We just no fools. We just had our third anniversary. And I'm kind of the operations guy. I have a left-handed broom, but I also do Windows have a background in technology and mainly operations in international community. I'm kind of omnipreneur, if you think of global entrepreneurship from that standpoint. With that, let me pass it over to Brendan, one of our other core contributors.
Thank you, Matt. Really excited to be on here with CERTIC today. They were able to handle our very first audit, and it was a fantastic experience. And of course, riding with Mikhail and being able to be here today is just really, really exciting. So I'm Brendan Cooper. I'm a 35-year technologist. I've been building scaled custom software development for pretty much my entire career for globally recognized firms as well as startups. Most recently, I was with the largest collectible company in the world, Panini, where we introduced the very first free-to-play mobile games. And with NFT trading cards. So those were for the NBA, the NFL, the English Premier League, the FIFA World Cup, and a lot of other globally recognized licensors. And those are officially licensed products. And that's where we learned a whole lot about Web3. And that's where Cody, who's not with us today, is another core contributor. And I first got to work together. So it's been a really exciting journey. Can't wait to talk about all about Andromeda and our relationship with CERTIC, and we'll get into that. But back to you, Matt.
Hey, thanks a lot. Mikhail, why don't you introduce yourself, and then we'll go to Jesse.
Sure, and thank you, Andromeda team, for having me. Like Brendan mentioned, it's been a long journey, and it's been privileged to follow along in terms of all the different challenges, obstacles that you've overcome, and you know, here we are. So this is a great time. So my name is Mikhail. I help to connect and secure Web3. I secure Web3 through, of course, my work at CERTIC. So I am one of the longer tenured BDs here at CERTIC, and take pride in building long-term relationships, and that's something that I felt like had a lot of synergy with the Andromeda team. So this is not the first time I share the stage with them, and I know it won't be the last, but really excited to be here and talk more about the strategic alliance between Andromeda and CERTIC.
Awesome. Lucky last. I'll take the stage. This is my first time sharing the stage with Andromeda, so it's great to be here. My name is Jesse. I am content marketing manager at CERTIC. So a lot of what I do is spreading the good word about the importance of blockchain security, auditing, all those sorts of things. We do a lot of educational resources up on our website, which I handle the majority of. So yeah, I mean, I think security is something that is not necessarily the most exciting topic in Web3, but it is one of the most important. So yeah, it's good to have spaces like this that are, you know, engaging, informative, and send a good message. So looking forward to discussing Andromeda and some of the work that we do at CERTIC and how those two missions can combine into one. So yeah, looking forward to the chat.
Thanks, Jesse. Boy, you just sparked a thought in my mind about security. It may not be the most important until it's the most important, you know, until you get hacked or until there's been a big big break. Yeah, so it gets real important real fast. If you aren't paying attention, you're going to get rewarded in a negative way for not paying attention to security. So thank you for that. We really appreciate it. With that, let me do a quick overview of Andromeda, and then I'll pass it over to Brendan to talk a little bit about the AOS and maybe some use cases for NFTs or other things that we have going on that are on our YouTube channel. And then we'll pass it back to Certik to talk about their broad overview and a little bit about the Certik partnership with Andromeda before we go into our questions. With that, I'd like to give the group an overview of Andromeda as a network. You know, 70% of the value created since the age of the internet has been created from network effects. And real quick, easy way to think about network effects is the first person to sell a telephone was a genius. The second one got easier, the 50th easier, the 1,000th a lot easier. And the power of a network isn't so much the technology of the telephone, it's the power of being able to call whoever you want to call, whenever you want to call them. So that's a simplified version of network effects. Andromeda is focused on network effects. And what that means in the telephone analogy is blockchains are our telephones. So we connect through our operating system, L1 blockchains, and we give each L1 blockchain by connecting to our operating system the same effect as a telephone network. You now have the ability to cross-chain compose. We believe in the multi-chain future. So now the more L1 chains were integrated with Andromeda, the more powerful the network becomes, not just for Andromeda, but for everyone on the network. So it's a very mutually beneficial operation to integrate with the Andromeda operating system. Now, it isn't just L1s that we're integrated with. It's an ecosystem. So it's a network ecosystem. So it'll be auditors like we're going to talk about today. There's market makers. We have a legal alliance. There's all kinds of alliances that will be embedded in this Andromeda ecosystem. But really, it becomes a network of networks, which makes it even more powerful for those L1 blockchains and developers and projects that integrate with our AOS. And with that, let's talk about the great part here. Let's talk about AOS and let Brendan explain that.
Thank you, Matt. Yeah, so Andromeda is the first of its kind. It's the very first system. It's cross-chain, as Matt described. It can be used on any single blockchain. And if you think about it, like the Microsoft Windows of Web3, except it's got all the technology of Web3. It is a Web3 native platform. It is it's got a familiar, intuitive user face, like a Windows or Apple operating system, or on your mobile. It has apps. It has a file system, except instead of files, digital files, you're dealing with digital assets like NFTs or DeFi instruments. It has an app store. It's got a suite of developer tools and utilities that let developers and creators build Web3 apps on a single chain or across blockchains and compose highly sophisticated and complex apps that have not really been seen yet today. And this is been achieved through a breakthrough in modular and composable smart contract architecture. This operating system is implemented as a system of smart contracts that work on a chain or across chains. And that architecture enables a whole new radically expanded application design space. And so something that we see, we see in Web3 that we're kind of trapped in this NFT and DeFi applications. And there's so much more that is possible. And so the AOS has these developer tools, including a very sophisticated, succinct and expressive command line interface. And it has a no code builder and low code builder that lets almost anyone rapidly compose using a drag and drop onto a canvas and across multiple chains, compose applications. And we've got a whole bevy of
use cases that we've already solved for. We have, just as an example, that the design space, again, is really large. But if you go to our website, you can find videos of people building in minutes. What would take hours, weeks, in some cases months, to use the traditional methods of software development. And so some of those include, say, an auction. If you wanted to auction, and you can do auctions for NFTs and the maybe some RWA, some real world assets, you can do that singly or in batches. So it's really sophisticated in that way. And of course, we've got, when we talk about the different utilities, we've got a marketplace that you can drag and drop onto your existing website and immediately access and sell those assets at auction. Again, this could be done at a command line interface, or it could be done using the no code builder. So it's a drag and drop, and you're literally composing applications in the user interface. And this is a new capability. Again, it's engineered as smart contracts, or implemented as smart contracts on the system, but you don't have to know all that and deal with all that complexity, because we've abstracted it away. For elite developers, again, we've got a full set of tools that they can use to build and prototype and actually publish to the chain. And it's a new capability, and we'll talk about it further, but I'll stop there and pass it back to Matt.
Thanks, Brendan. And for the listeners there, I hope you see that this AOS is a very powerful piece of software. There's 20,000 lines of code in this AOS, and there's two pieces of software. One's our L1 blockchain, and then our AOS that integrates with that L1 blockchain to create the ANDR token. With that, let me pass it over to Certik, our very first Audi Alliance partner. So I don't know if that's Mikhail first or Jesse.
Sure, I can jump in here and speak a little bit about the Alliance. And you know, this is just my personal humble opinion. When I look at what Certik is doing, we're taking really complicated code base, we're reviewing it, and we're providing it in a very digestible format to the community. So when you go to Skynet, .certik.com, you see the leaderboard, you can pull up the security score, you can pull up the auditing reports, and behind the scenes, all of the things that a lot of these builders are building, it can be very complicated. So it's our job to provide that information, to understand it first and foremost, but then also be able to provide it in a very easy, digestible manner to the community, so that way they can stay safe. And so when I look at what Andromeda is working on, in a lot of ways, although they're not a security company, they're doing something very similar. They're taking something very complicated and making it a lot more simple. And I think the future, and again, this is just my personal humble opinion, I think this is what the future holds for Web3 and blockchain technology. Is, you know, you look at some of the things that are happening in the AI space, or you look at traditional companies like Shopify. A lot of these things are very complicated, but long technology that will help us to make it a lot more easier, faster, better, and a lot more standardized. And so for me personally, that's one of the things that I was looking forward to exploring when it comes to this strategic alliance.
Yeah, it's a good point, I think, that you make about us translating complicated code bases and the security issues that we find or don't find within those code bases into something that can be understood and digested and utilized by the broader public. I think that aligns well with Andromeda's mission. Like, most people aren't particularly interested in the extreme complexities of smart contract development and security and all those sorts of things. They want to use blockchain technology for what it's good at, and they want to know that they're using secure platforms. But they don't necessarily have the time or the expertise to be digging into every single protocol, reviewing them all, comparing, you know, code base and everything like that. So I think that's where we come in on the security side. And that's where Andromeda comes in on the user interface side. And yeah, I think that's why it makes sense for us to be in this strategic partnership where we're bringing security to the broadest audience possible, and you guys are bringing blockchain technology to the broadest audience possible. So yeah, I think we're very aligned on that level.
Well, I appreciate that. One of the things that's been our vision statement is it's a very simple vision statement, and it's a simplify Web3. And of course, that means there's a lot going on behind the scenes. But the idea is just that, Jesse and Mikhail, is to simplify the entire Web3 experience. So instead of worrying about all the what I call beeps and squeaks, all the highly technical piece, you're able to just focus on the creativity side. You're able to build things and solve problems and address needs, both of your project or of your company, or even your chain. And having the security piece of it is critically important. We believe in security, we believe in privacy, and we certainly believe in the user experience, making it as easy as possible. And it's all about trust. And the better your security, the higher the level of trust, both for the user and in the case where Andromeda is going, for institutions. You know, we want institutional level trust, and that requires security. It requires the proper code base. It requires proper leadership and mentorship, and certainly a management team and other teams in this network that form something that can be used as a trust base when we start talking to more than just Web3, and we start talking to the larger mainstream adoption in the enterprise level. So with that, let me talk about a little bit about the Certiq partnership. I mentioned that Certiq was one of our first auditing alliance partner. And that's important to us because what you heard from Brendan is this is going to be a piece of software that enables developers anywhere in the world, anytime, 24/7, 365, to come in and very quickly build something and be economically incentivized by revenue sharing for building something that the market cares about. Well, a critical piece of that is the auditing. So we anticipate, back to my opening comments about the network, is when we get to 10 L1s, 20 L1s, it's going to be a tremendous network, unlike anything ever seen in the crypto industry. That includes the entire crypto industry. So when you combine this network effects and multiple developers coming in to build our baseline unit, the Andromeda Digital Object, which really powers AOS, those Andromeda digital objects are smart contract logics that are stacked into apps, so you can build apps very quickly, like Brendan talked about. They're going to need to be audited. So we'll need, and we knew early on, back in 21 when we started, that we were going to need multiple auditing partners to handle the new demand as we really change the face and the operational capability of Web3, and having Certiq there with their extensive experience in the Web3 security business was really important to us as a baseline partner. So with that, I'd like Certiq to talk a little bit about your experience in the Web3 space, and you can go back and brag on yourself. This is your time to brag about how long you've been doing this and what you've done. I read Certiq updates and things that you found. So give yourself a chance to brag a little bit, Mikhail and Jesse.
Yeah, absolutely. So Certiq's been around since 2018, before DeFi was a term that anyone had coined or was using. So yeah, we've really been around since the very beginning, since before the beginning of this space. Founded by two professors of computer science from Ivy League universities. So like a very academic beginning, but then wanted to translate some sort of complex computer science topics into blockchain security, into, you know, this new industry. So yeah, been around since 2018. We've audited, I think, nearly 5,000 projects in that time, coming up on that milestone. Detected over, I think the number 65,000 vulnerabilities. Reviewed, you know, millions of lines of code. I think we have the largest auditing team of auditors in Web3. So we have bandwidth when things heat up, as they do. It's a very sort of cyclical industry. So yeah, we've ridden those peaks and troughs a few times and are still here. So I've learned a lot in that time. In terms of, yeah, so experience, like, yeah, as I said, nearly 5,000 projects, all chains. We work across all chains. We have a really great team of expert auditors who manually review projects. They utilize formal verification is one tool that that our founders actually developed in their academic careers and then applied to blockchain technology. We have some more information about that on our blog if you're interested in formal verification. It gets a bit complex, but it's a very interesting topic. I mean, I'll talk a little bit about what I do actually. So I've just finished working on on our quarterly report for the first quarter of 2024. And I'll take some guesses on the number. We're publishing it tomorrow, but how much does everybody think was lost in, how much value was lost in the first 3 months of 2024? I'm not sure if there's a prize, but taking all guesses. Mikhail, how much was lost? How much do you think? Or Brendan or Matt, need some guesses here. Sorry?
100 million.
What, the Andromeda team?
100 million? So the figure is 502 million, which sounds like a lot. It's actually right on the median loss for Web3 over the last 4 years. The median is about 504 million per quarter, which is a pretty high number. So that's, I mean, it's a problem. It's a problem. And it's something that we are working to address, to raise the level of knowledge about security in the blockchain space, to steer people away from the obvious scams, to point them towards legitimate protocols that, that get audited, that display those results publicly. So we're very much, we're big on transparency. We publish every single audit report on our website, make that freely available to the public. The full audit report, also like a breakdown, like a sort of more accessible summary of findings, Skynet pages so skynet.certic.com if you want to check it out. We've got a security leaderboard, every entry on there. And there's more than 10,000. So every entry for a project that we've audited has a bunch of data that you can look through. And it's quite visual, so it's quite easy to understand. To get an idea of a project's security, to see what measures they've implemented, how secure their code is, whether they've actually addressed the issues found during an audit. Because we can find an issue, we can't force someone to fix it, but we can highlight to the community, to everybody, whether or not they have addressed the issue. So yeah, I think I mean, our tagline is raising the standard of security and transparency in Web3. So both of those things are very important. You can't really have security behind closed doors in an industry like this. It really needs to be publicly demonstrated. You got to show people that you are secure, that you're committed to security, that you know, it's all on chain, it's all open source, so there's no real hiding. I think what we do best is communicating to a non-technical audience the technical details of blockchain security. So yeah, it's gets complex sometimes, but I think we've definitely contributed to educating people and obviously securing nearly 5,000 projects. So Mikhail, I'll hand it over to you for your perspective.
Oh man, that's hard to follow, Jesse. You did a great job there. I'll just add that although we are known for our work within Web3, we've also been recognized by some of the traditional names like Apple and Samsung for our work in the App Store. So, and recently this may apply to the folks within the Cosmos ecosystem. We recently uncovered a significant vulnerability in the Cosmosm, which is the smart contract platform within the Cosmos ecosystem. So we've done a lot of work, and it is pretty. It spans quite a bit. Anything from Cosmos, and obviously to you know, your traditional application stores that you might find in you know, Apple or Samsung. So we cover a lot, and we have a large team of auditors, but we also have an internal team that is constantly trying to understand what are the the biggest trends right now when it comes to vulnerabilities and how do we continue to improve our tools. We just recently updated our Skynet active monitoring. So traditionally, we include the code repository scanning, but we've added the website monitoring, the smart contract activity. We now keep track of the social media health. So we're able to cover a lot more. And that's what I'm really excited about in terms of the work at Certiq. It's not just the auditing side, but our ability to continuously learn and adapt to based on what the trends are. And every vertical has its own vulnerabilities, of course. You know, you mentioned RWA, which is, tends to be a trend. You know, that's something that we're looking at as well. You know, what are going to be the vulnerabilities in that vertical as well? So really excited about the future on the development side. And it's kind of like this cat and mouse chase between development and security. And I feel like Certiq is doing a great job of keeping up with the development. So,
thanks, Mikhail. I tell you what, that was a great setup for our next section, where we're really going to talk about the partnership and how it benefits the community. So let me go back to this network effect that Andromeda is creating. The network effect is that multiple developers will be able to build and cross-chain communicate and compose, enhancing the ability of the multi-chain future to deliver value to not only Web3, but Web2. So it's really important to us that Certiq, as a alliance partner, has relationships in the Web2 space or the Fortune 500 space, if you will, because that's where we're headed, not just to Web3, but to the Fortune 500 for adoption. Part of that is this new business model that we've created with this Andromeda operating system that creates this network effect of developers being able to build ADOs that are stacking Lego blocks. You stack Lego blocks of smart contract logic into an app, and you can do that very quickly. Not only do you need to audit the smart contracts, the ADOs, but also you need to audit or have a security analysis of how those stacked ADOs perform. And where are the vulnerabilities, where are the security risks inside of an ADO? So this relationship between Certiq and our entire auditing alliance is going to be very important. And part of this is Certiq is going to have to learn how multiple ADOs that are, you know, could be stacked in, you know, hundreds, thousands of different configurations, how to audit that, how to create trust in the community and for the enterprise level, how to create the ability to audit those as they're made to make sure that they're safe and secure as we start handling funds and we start moving large sums of money around with these apps that are built very quickly. So we're really excited for Certiq to participate with us as we go through hackathons and hacker boards and as we bring on projects and we integrate more with L1s. So this entire platform for auditors and auditing is really important that we maintain a security base throughout the entire system. And the more the merrier. You know, the more developers, the merrier. The more auditing alliances that we can bring in to help with that, the better. Because this is a network of people looking at all the security issues to make sure everyone's ADO or everyone's app has the highest level of security that they can deploy. And the whole piece behind this is developers, projects, L1s are all incentivized to build on AOS. And that building, you can sell your ADO or your app on our app store and share in the revenue from that sell. So part of this is all integrated into how economically incentivized a developer is to build that. And it's all created in this auditing alliance that we built so that there's a auditor, you know, in this case, Certiq to developer relationship so they can audit that ADO for the developer. And that gives us great power that we're not in the middle between there. There's no middleman. It's just a direct relationship between the developer and Certiq So, Sergey, you may want to talk about how you'll run that development relationship and how you'll build and be able to handle that demand as more and more developers come in to build ADOs.
Yeah, I mean, because of the team size that we have and the differing expertises, like we do have people who are, you know, who have their own specific fields. So we have the bandwidth to sort of allocate resources to ramp up teams as the demand comes in, as it sounds like it will, which is great. So, yeah, I mean, it's an exciting vision, and because things change so quickly, I mean, in, I guess, 6 years, yeah, 20, since 2018, 6 years. So like there, a lot has come and gone, which, you know, you get some sort of temporary flash in the pan sort of things, but then there's also sort of more macro changes and like people migrating towards L2s, people migrating, like there are some longer term trends that take some time to play out. And it's important to be ahead of those trends. And I think that's what, like, you know, this strategic partnership is doing, where we're getting ahead of the race and positioning ourselves to be able to service that demand and getting the word out there about, you know, the services that we offer. So, in terms of this partnership, I think it's an important thing and is definitely shaping where we're allocating resources and where we're thinking about the demand coming from in terms of this very, like, at times patchwork industry, at times, you know, like everybody's concentrated on one area. So it's a very, like, attention focused industry. But yeah, we try and take like a step back, see where things are going and make sure that we're there to service that demand.
Terrific. Thank you. Let me take this opportunity to invite the audience to come up. There's been a lot of great information that's passed, and love to take some questions from the audience. Just ask for a speaker position, and I'll get you logged in real quick. And as we do that, Brennan, if you want to talk a little bit about our view of security within the AOS and how we're looking to go forward with the ADO audits and then the app audits beyond that.
Sure thing, man. So the AOS has delivered this. We go live this month, and we have created a new way of creating applications very quickly. And so when we talk about the modular and composable smart contracts that can be built by almost anyone, and by the way, I have a dear 80-year-old mother who I will, the next time you hear me on stage, I will be able to explain to you how my 80-year-old mother was able to build a real-world asset project and publish it. So that's where we're going. That's the ease of use that we're talking about. And this composition of projects and smart contracts on a single chain or across chains, this ability, it is all using pre-audited bundles of code. So this Andromeda Digital Object is the base level of the operating system, and the capabilities are composed together. And so when you bring to market this capability, anyone can now come in and create an application using audited code. And there's a lot of audit demands for the ADOs, but the result is an application that is completely composed of code that has had a code level inspection of it, and it has been audited. So that requires a new kind of audit. It's a, you know, an Andromeda web audit. And this is where we have to, we're bringing to market a whole new capability, and it requires new kinds of testing and new kinds of audits. And so if you think about the way AOS is constructed, we have created an opportunity for developers to come in and build these digital objects, these Andromeda Digital Objects, ADOs, and they can have an economic interest in those ADOs, they can be compensated for building those ADOs. And we're excited for them to create those and bring those to market. In fact, we've already talked to a lot of developer teams who are waiting and ready to build ADOs on our after our production launch this month. And those ADOs will need to be audited. And then all of the applications that are built on top using those ADOs, where they're composed into applications, those also need an audit. But this new ability for open source software to be compensated, fairly compensated, is really, really important to the future of Web3, and it's important to civilization. And I don't think that's an overstatement at all. In fact, just this past weekend, we saw the a hack that was thwarted on a Unix operating system. There was a load-bearing member of the free of the open source software community that had been building and servicing a particular component called the XZ. And this component, the original builder could no longer, or maintainer of this particular package, handed it off to someone because he was having a lot of difficulties keeping up. He's having some mental health challenges. And of course, in the background of all that is it's a hobby project. He's working for free. And the future of our civilization can't be built on people contributing their time for free. It only goes so far. There's got to be an economic incentive. There's an economic imperative. We all have an economic imperative to have open source software built and maintained by developers who can actually do so and do it for a living. And so this is just a very recent example of, the types of security vulnerabilities that exist because there's no economic model underpinning today's free open source software. And now with crypto and Web3, we have a new way. We have new tools that weren't imagined by the founders of free open source software, decades ago. And we can do it better. And AOS is pioneering a way to do it better, where contributors from all over the world can build ADOs and have an economic interest to do so. And of course, that requires and opens up a huge demand for auditing of those ADOs, and then in turn, the applications that are built using all those composed applications. So I'll stop there and hand it back to you, man.
Thanks, Brendan. So still waiting on questions. So there's been a lot of information that's put out there, but let me transition and ask my own question of Sergic. You know, we talked about in the first quarter of 24 that there was 500 million lost in hacks. Can you say where, what was the security piece, or was there a trend in security that that resulted in those, in that loss? Was it one thing? Was it several? Was it on-chain, off-chain? You know, the traditional, that's where the gap is. That's where the big hacks occur. Is it on-chain, off-chain? Or is it inside a project itself in the software development? Any help there?
Yeah, so a couple trends. This quarter, like previous quarters, saw private key compromises account for nearly half of all the funds lost, despite accounting for about 10% of total incidents. So they can be extremely damaging when they do occur, private key compromises. And there are steps that, you know, developers can take, multi-sigs, time locks, not having one account control the whole project's treasury, all those sorts of things. So yeah, private key compromises are a major one. We've seen a sort of decline in the like low level exit scam, which is a good thing. So the majority of these are on chain. Yeah, private key compromises, I think about 48% or something of total losses. And then, I mean, apart from that, all chains have really experienced losses. I think Ethereum saw the most with, you know, it's got the highest demand. It saw like $130 million lost. So, yeah, there are some trends that people can definitely check out when we publish the report tomorrow. As you said, yeah, you know, $500 million. It's good to try and learn some lessons from that, if possible, expensive lessons. We have on Skynet, we have a dashboard that shows the level of centralization that a project has. So that's something that, like, I really encourage everybody to check out, whether through Skynet or just think about in general, who controls the project, which accounts have privileges over which functions in a project. And that's something that we definitely highlight in any audit, because if there's a rogue developer, like there was in the Munchables case, the North Korean developer who stole and then returned $60 million, you've got like threats that come from inside a team as well as outside. Really, it's a very like hostile environment, the on-chain industry. You've got threats in all directions, basically. So security really needs to be 360 degrees. You've got to really consider everything, protect against everything, anticipate everything, and then continuously monitor blockchain protocols as well. Because once you deploy a platform, it's live. It's on chain. It's interacting with all these other smart contracts. There are new things being developed every day. So you really need to think through every line of code in a project. Think about what it's doing. Think about how it interacts with the outside world. Think about, you know, what can manipulate the project. What you can do to prevent that. It's really like there's a lot going on. Yeah. I encourage everyone to read stay tuned. I think this time tomorrow the report will be released. It's a good read. Lots of statistics, lots of takeaways. But yeah, I mean, in terms of like a sneak preview, private key compromises, still the largest single attack vector. And they can be, there's definitely measures to put in place against these private key compromises. I'm sure everybody's sort of familiar with their own, you know, private key security. When it comes to projects, it gets a bit more complicated, but there are definitely tools and best practices to put into place that we go through. We definitely check a project that comes in for an audit. We scrutinize their private key management, definitely, which wallets have access to the treasury, you know, all those sorts of things. So yeah, that's the main takeaway, I think, is still, I think private keys are a pain point. They are for individual users, they are for projects, but the good news is that there's plenty you can do to mitigate against the threat. It's private key compromises that can be so devastating.
Well, I really, and I'll just add to that.
Go ahead.
Man, if you don't mind, I'll just add to that. So centralization does appear to be the most common vulnerability. And there's really three main things that projects can do. And to be honest, it's very difficult to incorporate all three of these things, but it's having a time lock, it's having a multi-signature wallet. And then also the third one, which tends to be one of the most challenging for a lot of folks building in Web3, it's renouncing privileges to a DAO. And many times for projects, it's part of their business model to be able to have certain privileges. And they may not have, you know, the bad intentions, but there are certain things that can happen, as Jesse just mentioned, that are, you know, it could be a human error, a mistake on their part. And this is the other reason why we're also seeing a rise in KYC services. And what I mean by KYC is it's not like when you go to a bank and you give them your information. This is more where we as the security company would verify the identity of the core team. And that gives not only the community the reassurance that these people don't have anything to hide, but also the team itself, because as Jesse pointed out, sometimes you may hire somebody, a developer, to build out your smart contracts. And because we're so distributed across the globe, you may not have ever met that person. You don't know that person on a personal basis. And so having a background check by a security provider like Certiq does a lot of good for the founder as well. And because we are SOC 2 Type 1 compliant, that information is stored safely at Certiq. And so teams can feel at ease and reassured that if they were to perform KYC with us, you know, we would provide a badge on their profile. So that instills confidence in the community while keeping their information safe and not disclosing their identity to the public. So essentially, it's just we're saying that we verified this team, but we're not disclosing the information in terms of who is behind that project.
Thank you, Mikhail and Jesse. That was great. Pascal, I tried to bring you up as a speaker a couple of times, and then I invited you to be a speaker. If you still have a question, accept that and come on up and talk. While we're trying to work through that that tech piece, let me ask a question to Jesse and Mikhail about your Skynet decentralization tracker. You know, we're really looking to try and make it easy for any Web3 or any Web2 Fortune 500 company to transition to Web3, and what is what the SEC calls sufficient decentralization. You know, not that we want to base our decisions on the SEC, but it's something that is worthwhile, because if you're tracking it, that centralization piece, there's a security threat there, but there's also for those that might be US-based or some kind of interface with the US SEC, sufficient decentralization. So does Certiq have any ideas about what is sufficient decentralization, or a way to track that, or any ideas, or is that something that is a project you're working on?
I'm not a lawyer. I don't know the ins and outs of the SEC's specific definition of sufficient decentralization, which, knowing the SEC, will probably change by tomorrow. But in terms of decentralization, obviously it's something that we're very aware of and very much in favor of in the industry. So we definitely have a bunch of different metrics that track centralization on Skynet in audit reports, centralization risks are often some of the highest level severity risks that we call out in audit reports. So if a single wallet has the ability to, you know, remove liquidity or dump a token or completely upgrade a contract or just whitelist or blacklist, you know, all those sorts of things, we call them out. We always call them out 100%. So those are always in the audit report, always in the summary of findings. We recently implemented the centralization overview dashboard, which is just like a very simple visual yes/no sort of thing, like which privileges are there privileges that certain wallets have over the protocol. So it's something, it's something that we call out. It's something that we try and make clear to the community, because if it gets really tricky, you know, if a project is highly centralized, then there's a high degree of trust that you need to have in that protocol. You know, you don't need to trust that Ethereum is going to process your transaction, because it's a very decentralized network. But you do need to trust that a small project controlled by one person who has all these privileges over the platform is not going to, you know, exit scam or change the rules after you've put money in and things like that. So decentralization is obviously a guiding light in the space and something that we're very committed to, and something that, we call out. We make it clear to users the degree of centralization that a project has. I'm not sure about the SEC's specific definition, but we've got our own, and it's a pretty broadly shared one in the crypto community, I think. So that's the one that we...
Yeah, just like you said, the SEC doesn't define that. They leave it up so they can regulate through litigation. So it's just a curiosity from trying to help Web3 companies become, through AOS, become more distributed through our a larger network. That's one way, but certainly what you're talking about from a security standpoint is a component of decentralization, which is really important. with that, we finally got a speaker up. Mohammed, please ask your question or just make your comment. You know, we'd love to hear what you have to say. Mohammed, did we lose you? I've lost you on the screen here. We may have had another technology issue here. While we're waiting for Mohammed to come back up on stage and request to speak, let me do a little advertising here for Andromeda. I want to give Certik the same opportunity. So come check out our link tree on our X profile, which is Andromeda Prot, P-R-O-T. That gives you full access to our Telegram and our Discord. I think I may see Mohammed again. Let me take a look here. And then, Mikhail, if you would go through your social media too.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, definitely follow Andromeda here, follow the Certik official profile, and anybody that wants to connect. I'm also happy to connect, whether you're on the retail side or you're somebody that's building. I'm always fascinated about some of the early stage projects that are being built. So feel free to follow me here on Twitter at Jürgen Giev. You can also find me on LinkedIn. It's pretty much my my first name and my last name, which is Jürgen Giev, which is my handle. Those are the two main places where you can find me. And also, I encourage everybody to go to Certik.com and just look at the products section. You can see how in-depth and how much in-demand security is in the space, because it covers so many different things, from smart contracts to layer one chain audits and all the different services that Certik provides. All of that is designed to be this holistic solution to helping to secure the Web3 world. And that's what we're set out to do. And I'm always happy to talk to anybody that shares the same passion. And if you want to connect, always happy to do so. So thanks so much to the Andromeda team for having us on.
Thanks, Mikhail. And our pitch here is AndromedaProtocol.io for the website. That'll give you links to our videos, all of our documentation, and a quick look at our partners. We'll be going through a website upgrade here soon, but for right now, the website's stable, so come on in and take a look around. Great documentation, lots of YouTube videos to take a look and learn about the AOS and Andromeda Digital Objects. I told you before that we would tell you what we're going to tell you, then we would tell you, then we would tell you what we told you. One, Andromeda is a network. It's a network of networks. It becomes an ecosystem. And the power of the ecosystem is by joining, like a telephone network. The more telephones on the network, the more powerful the network is. So the more L1s and auditors and market makers and all of the other pieces of Web3 integrated in this ecosystem makes it very powerful. And security is really important to us. Privacy, security, some of the watchwords of Andromeda, and that's why we have such great partners like Certik to bring all that experience and some of the great things they're talking about with the Skynet tracking of centralization, decentralized risk, and all the other work that they do that really helps not just Andromeda, but the entire ecosystem to benefit from their experience. The other piece is we encourage you all to ask us questions, give us feedback on AOS. I know Certik is interested in hearing your feedback as well. So thank you for attending today, and we really appreciate your time and respect the fact that you chose to listen to this Twitter space instead of doing all the other things that keep us all busy in Web3. And with that, I think I'll wrap up here and give you 2 minutes back of your time before we hit the top of the hour. Again, thank you very much for attending, and good luck to you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Adios.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ants dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken knives. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom over impossible. possible loss. It's all moss and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lace, stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like this shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines, they call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community, all these low hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10 stargazing after the siege, commanding all the management to grab a few Z's, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Terror Spaces.